1 Corinthians 11, 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Any teacher is responsible for the results of his teaching. And when you see extremists, and the leader of them, the person who's done the teaching, doesn't appear to be extreme, disbelieve it. Any teacher whose teaching results in extremism has something to bear for it. So Paul is very conscious that from what he said, men are likely to get the idea of superiority, or of women being in some way less than them. And what he wants to do is this: not to say, and this is what he doesn't say, that in Christ Jesus all are equal. There is neither bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. He's not discussing the spiritual side of it. What he's saying here is this: that all are to dependent on each other, the man and the woman, and it's in the Lord. Now, the very first thing that we must recognize from that is there is a vast difference between the gospel and the world. Let me put it like this. I do not believe that all the legislation so far will make one whit of difference to the lot of women in this world. It may force a confusion of gender, but it certainly won't make one whit of difference. I don't believe that all that is being done outside Christ makes man, and that I include women in that, one whit different. They are exactly the same. It's in the Lord. There is a vast difference between the gospel and the rest. You heard that they've sent, something like £17 million, if I remember rightly, on increased on drug addiction. And so far they've weaned 54 people off it this past year. Now, that's an utter failure to anybody who's got any sense in their head. It's thousands, it's really huge sums per head of the population for almost no result. And now they're beginning to say you can't wean people off, you've just got to live with the situation. Only the gospel will ever get people off drugs. There's nothing else to do it. It goes too deep. And Wilkinson, in his book, which I don't altogether agree with, but some of it's very good, said that it was a common saying among drug addicts in New York that there's a devil in the needle. And it's certainly true. The devil is behind the whole thing, and he makes prisoners of these poor people. And what a mess they make of their lives. Our hostels are full of it. Our begging in the streets is full of it. Misery and just terrible things going on in homes and all the rest of it. Now, the first thing is in the Lord. We have a unique situation whereby we can and must live together as men and women properly in the Lord. The whole thing depends on that one small phrase, and it's very, very important. You see, outside Christ, the religions are hopeless at this. I think it has to be put plainly. In Hinduism, I was very interested to see in the papers while I was there, as headlines, that the beating of the Hindu wives by their husbands was endemic and a great shame to India, but that when they had done a survey, 54% of all Indian women felt their husbands ought to beat them. Now, when they did the terrible things to women in Iran, in the cultural revolution they had in Iran, they could get enormous marches of women all dressed in black from head to foot with only their eyes showing, saying that it was a good thing. Was it a good thing? because it had taken away all the education they had, the rights they had. It had taken everything from them. It had left them where in Islam a woman is worth half a man. That is the Islamic law. So if a woman has to testify, she is worth half a man's testimony. So if one man stands up and says, say, in one of these dreadful rape cases, he was innocent, the woman has to be able to get three or four women to testify against him. Well, that's an impossible situation for a start. And then again, supposing a woman has a son and her husband dies, he gets twice as much of the inheritance automatically as she gets. And I was talking to my daughter about it, Jane, and she said, when you practice law in this country, you regularly get this situation, and regularly you say to the people, does the girl agree to getting only, say, an eighth while the other gets a quarter? And she said, invariably you get a letter back from Pakistan straight away, signed by the girl, saying she agrees. Fact is, poor creature has nothing else to do except rebel against her family, her culture, her village, and get herself into serious physical danger. The fact is that only in Christ is there any form of equality between men and women. So if you look at the West, women have, to my mind, kicked over the traces and gone far too far and ruined their own equality. You see, every report you get back is that men haven't changed their ways and that women are still having the same difficulties in reaching the top. The fact is that they have big problems. You only have to look in my own family. You see, the girls have children, and then the moment that happens, they have to drop their jobs or else put the children in a nursery. And today, to put a child in a nursery in London, I'm reliably told, costs £14,000 a year. Now, the whole thing is quite out of hand, and it cannot be put right by legislation. What Paul is saying is, I refuse to be a teacher. The result of whose teaching was highly unbalanced Christianity. There must be a balance, and the balance must be that men need women and women need men. And that is what he's saying in this verse. Now, if you look at it very carefully, he is not talking about male superiority in any way. Because here he, if you look at verse 11, neither is the man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. Now he reverses the order from man-woman to woman-man, because he's qualifying what he said in the previous verses. Now, what is the true position over this feminism that's going round? Well, the true position is this. They are teaching that men are the trouble with women. And that what women must do is get quit of men's ambience, really, have their own job, have their own freedom, and go their own way in life. And be free. But that'll get them nowhere. And the reason is, it's a misdiagnosis of the trouble. What Paul is saying here is that in Eden, man and woman fell. And the result has been a breakdown in relations between God and creation, but also between the men and women and everybody else in creation. You see, you've broken down in your own life. You have a split personality. Otherwise, you'd never have guilt in your life. Every one of us has it. It broke our own relationship with ourselves. Furthermore, when you take it further, it's caused all the sociological problems we have in life. Men and women cannot get on together. One proof is, you know, the government are trying to build 2.5 million houses, and it looks as if they're going to ruin the green belts and fill up the gardens with houses and fill up the fields with houses. Well, what really is at the back of it, they're saying, is not just immigration, but mainly that families can't get on together. And therefore, the children have to have their own houses very shortly because the family's broken up. The father has to have his own house, the mother has to have her own house or flat. The whole thing goes in breaking up. And it's multiplied, they admit it quite freely, the need for houses enormously. We live in a huge sociological problem caused by having got the difference between men and women completely wrong. And it needs putting right in the Lord. It's our greatest witness. Now, the next thing Paul is saying is this. You as a Christian were saved individually. And you were saved alone, but you were saved to be part of a Christian church, and part of a Christian family, and part of a Christian group together. So we're together in it. So we have in all our lives to remember that we're saved for one another, and that what is needed is a healing of relationships. All through and through, so that it truly can be said, behold how these Christians love one another. And I would think that the main healing needed in society today is between men and women. That's the great healing that's needed. Divorce, separation, and all the increase in trouble between them. It's just enormous. Now, men and women are different. Feminism tries to play down the differences. And if you were to suggest to feminists that there is a difference in chromosomes between men and women, which is too obvious to say, they get very angry and say that you're speaking against them. But the fact is, when you get to such unreality as that, then you're off the rails. It cannot possibly be right. You see, in verse 12, Paul takes it back to nature. For as the woman is of the man, meaning that she came from the man in Eden, even so is the man also by the woman, meaning that right through history, right to today, men are born from women. But all things are God. So he's doing something there. He's stating their mutual dependence. And it brings him back to one of his great themes, all things of God. If you look at chapter 8 and verse 6, you'll see what he's saying there. It's his theme. He says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And then if you turn back to Romans 11, verse 36, he says, for, he's speaking of the Lord there, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, what does he mean? Well, the basic thought here is best expressed by Jean-Paul Sartre, the French philosopher. And what Jean-Paul Sartre said, I don't agree with hardly a word he said, but what he said here was this, that the basic philosophical question is that something is there. Now, Paul is referring to something real. That's a way of explaining its existence, the trouble between men and women. Einstein put it like this, that the most amazing thing about the universe is that we can know something about it. And what he meant is, there's something truly about it, that it's really there and we can really know it. Now, Paul is saying here, there is something truly wrong between the relationships of men and women, and it needs putting right, and the only way of doing so is to return to the natural order, all things of God. Now, apart from the most obvious differences of gender, there are other ways that God naturally made us interdependent. Paul is, again I emphasize it, not saying here that we are spiritually one and that in our salvation we're one, but he's saying a little more than that. He's saying that it's more than a biological difference. You see, if you look at Genesis 2:24, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife." And what it means is the initiative over marriage is with the man. And that's just been true through the ages. This cause, he puts the man first in the matter of marriage, because he is the one who has to take the initiative. Now, that is the very clear teaching, is a male initiative. And then in Deuteronomy 22:5, if you look at it, there is a very clear prohibition. It says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now that goes straight against the teaching today of unisex and of laws on equality. This is running right in the face of it. So then, that's two differences. That we are not to muddle the difference of gender, transvestitism is prohibited, and that man has an initiative in these things. Now the third thing that marks the difference in the Bible was Old Testament society. It was patriarchal. There's no doubt about that. But the patriarchs, God made things and ordered it. That's what Paul is saying, all things of God. Now what is being said today is that Jewish culture and patriarchal society is outmoded and ought to be got rid of. That is one of the great arguments being put forward today. That what they say is that culture is relative. That's very important in this passage, and that because culture is a relative matter, we can lay aside and ignore the social patterns of the Old Testament, and we can even set about abolishing them in order to make the woman a full person. But if we believe that all things are from God, including the patriarchal society of the Old Testament, then there are absolute differences between men and women. God created them both, and he made them both essential to a healthy society. And any attempt to obliterate those distinctions by equality legislation or any other way, by legal and social processes, will in the long term damage humanity. It brings confusion of identity and so frustration, because we're trying to be what God never intended us to be. Now, it's argued that the New Testament makes all that obsolete. All gender differences have to go in accord with Paul's teaching, which is frequent teaching, but most clearly put in Galatians 3:28, there is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. But he's not teaching that here. He's not teaching there's no spiritual difference. What he's teaching is that men are not to grow proud in the matter or to be think of themselves as better than women, but no man can get on without the woman, and no woman can get on without the man, because God made it that way. And in the Lord, that is what we are doing. And the spiritual differences are not what he's emphasizing here, but the physical differences, and the physiological and social differences. Well, is Paul then teaching a reduction of differences here? No, he's not. But a mutual need one of another, and all things of God. Now, the answer to feminism and much else being enshrined in legislation today is reality. I put it to you like this. What we have said is reality. Nothing is unreal about it. We have differences between men and women, and no one can deny it. They go right down to the deepest parts of our nature. It comes in nature in every way. We think differently. And someone has once said that the chances of a man and a woman being friendly are nil. They think so differently. And if you think about it, there's some truth in that. But they do get on wonderfully and complement each other. And that is how it's meant to be. So then, both West and East, both religion and non-religion, are living in unreality. Reality is Christian love, that we love in Christ one another. And our answer is to the world to preach Christ. And therefore, what we're after is this, a perfect personality. Therefore, be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's what we're after. Amen.